in and around church life for a little while, you will know that I've been doing some traveling recently. Two and a half weeks ago, I was in Ghana, and it was 33 degrees, and I'm a lily white Englishman. But we had an amazing time, and lives were touched, and I was able to bless the church there. It was brilliant. And then I was back for a week, and then last week I was in Rio de Janeiro in sunny Brazil, and it was 38 degrees, and my lily whiteness didn't cope very well. But I want to encourage you, because we're believing in faith for three things this year, specifically as a church. One of those is 20 salvations. Well, I believe God's given us anointing for it already. Because I went there just to preach on the Sunday, but they said, we've got an inn with a school. It's a school of 350 people. It's a private school paying to be there. And I had the opportunity to speak to the middle school, 14 and 15-year-olds. There's 80 of them. And the owners of the school are Christian. It's called a Christian school, but the reality is most of the families don't actually go to church. They just like the idea of it having morals. And so I preached my little heart out and through an interpreter on how Jesus changes lives. And out of 80 kids, 30 responded. Wow. 30. Come on. I looked to my side, and any Brazilians? We have some Brazilian families in our church. Brazilians are emotional. I think that's a fair thing to say. Even the men are emotional, right? And so I looked to my side, and there's 30, you know, teenagers' hands going up. I looked to my side, and there's the owners of the school. Snot coming down the face. But Jesus was moving. Lives were being changed. I spoke at the church service, and we had two more salvation responses. So in the meetings I was there, 32 salvation responses, you know. And then they asked me to go and launch their new venue. You know, that was my purpose of my traveling. I support the minister there. And he said, we've got a new building. Will you come and launch it? So we're believing for salvations in a new building. And I've just been and seen 32 salvations in one weekend and launched a new building. God's up to some stuff, isn't he? Come on, we're going to see it. He's stirring your faith. And we can see we're too big for this room. We need something way bigger. And I felt like God challenged me and said, don't make me small. God said to me, don't make me small. Now, sometimes you have big faith and sometimes you have like this little witty faith, don't you? And it's been a long time we're believing for a building. I think sometimes when it takes a long time, you start dumbing down what you're going to believe for. Anyone experience that? You know, even if I could take a step forward, that would be better than nothing. Well, we don't serve the better than nothing God, do we? And so I went to one of the very large churches there who Pastor Jaziel, the Equippers pastor, he does translation for them. And 4 years ago, they were a church of 300 people. And I went in their venue, and now 4 years later, they're 12,000 people. Their auditorium was 4,000 strong. It was like Wembley Arena. I got some videos of it. I should have put it up there. And what I felt like, I walked into this place, and 4,000 seats. They fill it three times on a Sunday. 4 years ago, there were 300 people, similar to us. And God said to me, don't make me small. So can I stir your faith in what God might do in Colchester? And imagine a church of thousands in Colchester, not just to say, oh, we've got a big church, but the difference that could make in Colchester. You know, a place where you're so proud that you want to, we won't have trouble filling out an Easter service because everyone's out, I'm bringing my mate because it's epic here. Yeah. And it creates an environment where faith can explode. And it was an amazing experience. And I just felt like God put it in me. Come on, you've launched a new building. I've shown you bigness. You've experienced salvation. It's coming to equip us, Essex. Yeah. Give the Father a round of applause. So you might have to have some grace for me today because it was a 19-hour journey coming home. We flew through the night. And I thought to myself, that's great because I can get some sleep. And but who knows when they bring the food out at 3 o'clock in the morning, you smell it. And you've paid for it. And everyone's thinking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm absolutely shattered, but what I really need is chicken and rice. And so we all have the chicken and rice. And I didn't get hardly any sleep. I came home, there's a 3-hour time difference, and that throws you. So the past few days I've been a bit of a mong, if that's a good English word. And I wrote this message during that time. So today it's got to be God and not me. And I need your help to cheer me on. Are you up for it? Yeah. Come on, I'm going to preach my little heart out. Yeah. Come on. We've got three faith goals we've talked about. I've only mentioned two of them. The other faith goal we have is what I'm calling everyday miracles. Now, we're believing that we're going to see miracles in our church services 100%. But let's not pin God down into our gatherings. Virtually all, if not all, of Jesus' miracles happened outside of the gatherings. And so I want to start encouraging you to believe in your life for miracles in your everyday. You spend far more time at work, in the family, in the social spaces than you're ever going to do meeting with us. And so let's not pin it down to that. Let's start believing, and I want to stir your faith right now, that you'll start seeing outrageous things in your world on the everyday. Yeah? Jesus came for full life, didn't he? We know that. And surely in terms of full life, some of that has to include a little outrageousness. I like a lot of outrageousness. Just imagine walking, literally being one of the disciples walking with Jesus when he walked the earth. It would have been outrageous, wouldn't it? Something cool every day. You must go to bed thinking, wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Because you're walking with Jesus. Now, what might it be? Oh, it might be money out of a fish, because that's pretty cool. You know, it might be we're going to get chased to the edge of a cliff. That's pretty cool. It might be that someone's going to get healed. It might be that the religious people are going to come and argue with us and we're just going to confound them with brilliance. It might be fantastic teaching. It might be Jesus being transfigured into the air. But every day there was something. And I want to stir you that it was outrageously good walking with Jesus. I wonder if you'd wake up and you'd look around it and you'd say, oh my days. This is amazing. So my title for you today is this. Oh, my days. Turn to the person next to you and go, oh, my days. Ask yourself this. When did being a Christian become boring, become small, become routine? We literally have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. And we've already established, if you actually walked with Jesus, it would have been none of the above. It would have been, oh my days kind of living. What's going to happen today? Can I stir you? You have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. What could happen tomorrow? Go to bed tonight with a little faith in your dreams and wake up and go, come on. The issue isn't with God. He's up for it. Whatever you need, whatever you pray for, you ask it in my name, it will be done for you. If two agree on earth, it'll be done in heaven. The issue is not with him. The issue is we've become boring. We've become small. And God is saying, come on, that's not my church. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. There's more in you than that. And it takes a lunatic like me to stir it up. So touch the person next to you and say, come on, stir your faith this morning. John 14, verse 12, Jesus speaking. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. We've established how good it would be to walk with Jesus. But Jesus' word over you is it's going to be better than that. And somewhere in it all, it's got worse than that. And so we need to stir our faith. Stir our faith for miracles in the everyday. Outrageousness in the everyday. But we know, according to John 10:10, that Jesus came for the fullest life, but there's a competitor, because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I think he's done a good job. But I believe the church is starting to stand up. Come, we don't live for victory, we live from victory. And so when we start appropriating that victory, we can go to bed on a Sunday night expecting next week to be absolutely outrageous. We don't do that, do we? But how about from now on we start stirring ourselves to believe for a little bit more than we've ever believed for before? God is gracious. He's not expecting you to go from this level of faith to this level of faith, but could you go from this level of faith to this level of faith and go on a journey? So this time next year, you are able to believe for the bigger and more outrageous because you went on a journey. You didn't say, that's impossible for me. You just took a step. God is stirring his church. The thief comes to rob, and I want to highlight a couple of areas that I think he uses that we don't always think about. Because he's sneaky. He's not obvious. He's sneaky. Can I get you to think about this? Reasonableness. Reasonableness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 says this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. We know that God does everything upside down to how the world thinks. That's why he can use people like me and you. Because we're not extraordinary people, but with Jesus in us, we become extraordinary. You know, suddenly he raises up a church of people like me and you and does amazing, amazing things because it confounds the ones who are far cleverer than we are, far more gifted than we are. And God says, yeah, because they've got me. And so suddenly things become possible. Have you ever started to make a faith plan? Maybe you're even being stirred right now. You start making a faith plan. I'm going to push this door. I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to take that step. I'm going to plant that seed. I'm going to do something that allows God to come and step in. You start making that plan to take a risk in faith. And then there's that person in your life who pipes up and says, doesn't seem very reasonable to me. It's probably very unlikely. And what happens is it gets in your head, it gets in your thinking, it gets in your heart. And where you were stirred to step out in faith, you start thinking, yeah, that's probably too much. It's probably a bit unreasonable. And you shrink back. But the Bible challenges us not to be ones who shrink back, but to step forward. Are you hearing me? Yeah. The other thing that happens is you start talking yourself out of it. You start thinking, oh, I'm just being, this is just stupid me. This is way too much. This is far too unreasonable. And you start talking yourself out of it. Have you ever heard about the 5-second rule? I've taught this years ago. Have you ever been in that place where, you know, you're in the park, at the supermarket, in the car park, wherever it might be, and you get a little Holy Spirit prompt. And it's like, go and say something to that person over there, or go and pay for their parking, or go and say something kind to them. Go and encourage that person. And inside you're stirring, oh yeah, I can do that. And if you don't do it within 5 seconds, you talk yourself out of it. Does anyone understand that? Yeah. It's just like, yeah, oh yeah, I can do that, I can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it's just me. It wasn't the spirit, it's just me being stupid. And we shrink back. And the truth of the matter is, what's the worst can happen? Maybe it wasn't God, maybe it was just you. And you go up to that person and you pay for something. Well, I say this, if you're paying for something, it's never the devil. Yeah. So it can't be that bad. Yeah. You go up to them and just say something kind. Well, that's not the devil. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we've got to stop being so unreasonable with ourselves and start saying it's reasonable to believe that might have been God, and I'm just going to say yes. Yeah. Come on. Beware of the soul-sucking force of reasonableness. Yeah. It destroys faith. Jesus was not reasonable. He wasn't. He was 100% living for his Father. He wouldn't waver to the left or to the right. He was all about his Father. He was all about bringing heaven to earth. He confounded the laws of people and he confounded the laws of science. He was not reasonable. It was not reasonable to walk on water. That's not reasonable. It's like, what on earth? A little strut, a little afternoon stroll on the old waves this morning. That's not reasonable. It was not reasonable to throw the tables over in the temple. That's not reasonable. He wasn't reasonable. He was a little bit outrageous. It was not reasonable to tell someone to get up and walk when they hadn't walked for years. And it certainly wasn't reasonable to do that on the Sabbath. But Jesus wasn't reasonable. It was like, oh my days, he's in your face. Could we get some oh my days in your face Christians living in our time? Because that's exactly how Jesus was. Sometimes I feel like if Jesus actually rocked up to his church today, we'd be shocked. But Jesus is living in me and Jesus is living in you. We just need to stir that in your face Jesus, that oh my days kind of Jesus to live in us and rise up in us. The favor of God isn't reasonable. I think it's hilarious. The favor of God is just confounds everyone. Recently, many of you will know that my wife Sarah bought a business, and she had the opportunity to go and do some really great training, and it was in Reading, just the other side of London, a couple of hours drive, and we had a leaders meeting that night, so we said, no, we need to do the leaders meeting, so we didn't leave Colchester until about 10 p.m. And Sarah had booked the hotel in Reading. We were all chuffed. It was a nice hotel. And she put it as a business expense. They're perks of the business owner. And we're like, yes, it's going to be great. We had our meeting. It's now about 11:30. And we're on the M25. And I said, babe, why don't you just check in? It'll save some hassle when we get there. And she's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And she's on their phone checking all in. And suddenly it went quiet. Very quiet. Husbands, have you ever noticed when it goes quiet? You're like, something's not quite right here. And I went, what? She went, I think I've done something wrong. I went, what do you mean you've done something? I can't check in. Well, why can't you check in? because I booked the hotel in Reading, America. It's 11:30 on the M25. We've got nowhere to stay. Do you know, I just said, praise the Lord. Or words to that effect. So we said, oh, you know, I was thinking on my feet now. I'm like, okay. She's calling America to cancel it because it's costing them loads now. And she managed to cancel that. And I said, look, I'll tell you what, we're just about to go past Heathrow. There's loads of hotels at Heathrow. Let's just book in at one of them. She found any Premier Inn or one of those ones. And then we turned up and we pulled up. Car park full. And we're like, oh, brilliant. Again, I said, praise the Lord. It's now nearly midnight. We've got nowhere to stay. We can't get in the car park. I'm like, brilliant. And we sat at the thingy and it says full. But there's a guy standing there. I went, oi, mate, is it actually full? He said, hang on a minute, I'll go and have a look for you. It takes about 10 minutes. He comes back. He says, there's one space. It's literally the last space you find before you leave the building. And so he let us in and we went around and I had to do about a 65-point turn to get into this parking space. But Sarah and I looked at each other and said this, it wasn't reasonable to find the very last parking space when we need it desperately. But it is reasonable to expect the favour of God on his kids. And so as I was parking there, I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't love me, because his favour's all over my life. It isn't reasonable, but you know what with my God? Favour isn't reasonable. He favours me. That's the whole point of favour. It's not fair. He favours me. No one else got the space. I got the space, because I'm a child of God. And so I want to stir you to start expecting favour to come in your life. Because what does it do? It stirs you that the Father's with me. And it stirs faith. Praise the Lord for parking spaces. When favour of God is on your life, it just makes you smile. It's just so good. And some people could say, well, there could have been a space there. Well, maybe, but maybe not. For me, it's just like there was one. And it was for me, and it was in the corner, and thank you, Jesus. Do you hear me? That's my filter. Some years ago, I was in my car going towards Braintree. And if you've ever driven from Colchester to Braintree, it's a one lane each direction road. It's quite long. And the car in front of me pulled up, and he wanted to turn right to go into the petrol station. So he was waiting. Then the car in front of him had pulled up, so there's two cars in front of me stopped, and I pulled up next to them just waiting. There's traffic coming the other way, so he couldn't turn. We were just sitting there. And have you ever sat there and then just looked in your interior mirror to look out the back, and I see this 52-seat coach coming, and I'm like, yeah, don't think anything of it. About 10 seconds later, I look in the mirror again, and I still see the 52-seat coach coming. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I keep looking, and it keeps coming. And it keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it hits me at 56 miles per hour, 52-seat coach. And it wrote my car off, it wrote the car off in front of it, and it wrote the car off in front of that. My car was hit so badly, the back of the back seat was right behind me. I could just turn around and touch it. If anyone had been sat on the back seat, they wouldn't be here today. The way I was steering, the coach hit me and I'm just hanging onto the steering wheel trying to point straight. Car's coming the other way, doing all this, and it's pushing me along. He pushed us probably 300 metres, hit us so hard. And my car sort of turned and the passenger side crumpled in sideways. If anyone had been sat in that, they would have been severely hurt. But I'm sat in the driver's seat, hit by a 52-seater coach at 56 miles per hour, didn't have a scratch on me. I got out. I phoned my mum and said, some lunatic in a bus has just hit me. She went, ha, ha, ha. Thinking it was like a minibus. And she turned up and saw this 52-seat coach burst into tears. And the truth is, if I'd been sat anywhere else in my car, I'd have been dead. But the favour of God says, I'm protecting you. You see, God's got plans for my life, and they'll never be robbed by some thief. And that's where my faith's at. And I want to encourage you to expect favour in your life. You are a child of God. If you're a parent in the room, you always favour your kids, don't you? You just do because they're yours. Well, you're God's kids. So you can expect his favour in your life and it stirs faith. It wasn't reasonable that I got out of that car. But favor says, yes, it is. Faith doesn't walk hand in hand with reasonableness. Faith walks hand in hand with the possibilities that exist with Almighty God. And when you start understanding what exists with Almighty God, faith has to arise. Are you hearing me, church? Don't let reasonableness rob you of faith. Because Jesus wasn't reasonable, and neither should your faith be. Amen? Second one. Active faith offends inactive faith. Have you ever thought of that? Jesus walked around living by faith, and the religious leaders of that faith were offended because he shook up their comfort zones. He shook up what was normal. His active faith offended their inactive faith. Are there any guys and girls who like to keep fit, go to the gym, keep their body in shape, whatever? Yeah, quite a few people. It's good. Love to be a fit church. And so often you'll do that. And I walk in pastor's circles, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, but most pastors are really out of shape. Ministry life lends itself to being out of shape. You'd have lots of lunches, you don't have much time to keep fit, lots of coffees, lots of travelling, lots of meals as you're travelling, all this kind of stuff. So basically, lots of pastors are out of condition. But I choose a different life. I choose that actually I'm body, spirit and soul, and I want to look after all three. No, my body, I want to look after it. I want to live as long as I possibly can to do as much as I can for my Father. And so I keep myself fit. But what happens is people who aren't fit start picking, oh, how much time do you spend in the gym then? Oh, how do you do that? They start, because my activeness is offending their inactiveness. Do you see? You said, don't get upset just because you can't be bothered. Controversial. Sorry if I've offended everyone in the room, but suck it up and get on with it. Faith can be compared to a muscle. Anyone who understands muscles is that when you exercise them, they break and then they repair, and they repair by overlapping and they get bigger and get stronger. That's how muscles grow. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's where it starts. But I believe it grows as you live it out, as you exercise it. Because what happens is you can start believing for something small. Maybe it's the favor of God. Maybe it's a parking space. And it happens. You're like, oh, okay. And your faith muscle grows and you can start believing for something a little bit more. So there are people in this world who can just, you know, we're talking about a building. Some people are believing for like £50 million buildings because they've been on a journey and they can believe for that. Maybe we can't right now, but could we believe for a £3 million building? Or could we believe for a 500, 1,000 seat building? I don't know what it might be. God will put it on our heart. But can we believe for what God's calling us to believe for? But as you exercise that, the next step gets easier and easier and easier because you've exercised your faith muscle. Yeah. Have you ever exercised and then been really sore the next day? Often people who haven't exercised for a long time, you go too hard in the first session and regret it for a week later. Yeah. Oh, I did legs yesterday. Yeah, you done that? Oh, me back, done too much. All this kind of stuff. But isn't it funny when you exercise faith that sometimes it's just painful? Why is it that we serve the God of the 11th hour? Do you know what I mean when I say that? You believe in something, there's a deadline, it's got to happen, and you're still believing, it's not happening, you're still believing. At the last second, God turns up and goes, favor. And you're like, why did you leave it that long? And I believe it's because he's testing our hearts. Will you keep believing me even when it feels like it's not going to happen? And your faith grows. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes you need to step back and go, whoa, that took it out of me. But what happens? You recover and your faith grows. Don't let people talk you out of it. You know, in that journey of the 11th hour, you'll have someone in your life. It could even be a church person saying, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. And they start talking it out of you. So don't let their inactive faith rob your active faith. And so we've got to stand on, this is what I'm believing for, and I'm not going to be rocked. Be active in it. Sometimes it's painful, but as you grow and you get stronger, you'll find yourself in faith for bigger and better things. Some years ago, on part of our church journey, we at one point had many, many students coming here, 120 at one point, and we met some amazing people. And there was a girl from America called Lindsay, and she was lovely. She really got stuck into church life, and she turned up on Sarah and I's doorstep one evening, and she was in absolute floods of tears, and we went, well, come in, what's happened? And she'd just come back from the hospital and she'd been having some scans and they basically found some cancerous cells and it meant she wasn't going to be able to have children. And she was 21 years old, attractive girl, wasn't in a relationship yet, but of course her dream was that she'd have children one day. And she was just like, she didn't know where else to turn. She's away from home in America. We're her church family. So she turned up with us. Oh, you know, you can't help but be moved by that. But in that moment with Sarah and I, we looked at each other and something stirred in us. The medical people say no, but the favour of God isn't reasonable. So we're going to pray. And we just prayed. We laid hands on her. We cried and wailed and prayed every prayer we knew how to pray. Just sometimes you ramble on, but you're touching the heart of God somewhere. And we just declared over, you will see your children. It will happen for you. So last night I went on her Facebook page. I haven't seen her for years. And this was the photo I found. See, some might say, oh, it could have happened anyway. Some might say it's just coincidence. Maybe. But I say, we prayed in faith. We exercised our faith muscle and there was a different outcome. That is the favor of God. That is faith in action. That is not being reasonable. That is in our world terms being unreasonable. But unreasonable in heaven is very different to unreasonable on earth. And we called heaven to earth and there is the result. Lives are transformed. Lindsay's life is fuller. Sarah and I's faith is fuller. And those things speak of Jesus to me because he came for a fuller life. Are you hearing me? Come on, stir your faith this morning. I don't know what you're believing for. Come on, everyday miracles. Every day there should be something. We can believe for something that had to be God. And what happens is when God starts stepping into your world, your devotion and love and commitment to him just goes through the roof. You know, as a lead pastor, I've been very frustrated since lockdown. The reason I've been frustrated since lockdown is because during lockdown, we got so comfortable indoors, didn't we? Who secretly quite liked it? We got to stay at home. We got to work from home. We didn't have to leave. We could order food in. We were allowed a 20-minute walk with a dog. It was just like people got used to it. But the truth of the matter is, doing church online is okay, but doing church in person is a different level. You feel the anointing, you get to lay hands on, you get to have the conversation, you get to have the hug, you get to feel people's situation. It's just better in person, it just is. But what's happened is as we come out of lockdown, it's 2.5 years now, I still feel like people are living like lockdown. Too many church people say they love God and they're into church and they come to church once a month. When before lockdown, they came 3 times a month. Can I stir you? Don't be that person. Being in the room changes lives. Yeah. Lindsay could have messaged us and said, we've got this, and we could have prayed a prayer over the phone. But I believe the fact she was in the room with us, there was a different outcome. Yeah. Come on, stir yourself. Touch the person next to you and say, let's get in the room. I hope I'm banging some drums this morning because, come on, we're the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the answer to every issue on the planet. And yet sometimes we can't even bother to show up. Come on, my Jesus is worth it. Is your Jesus worth it? And as we get together, maybe we can stir this unreasonable faith. You know, if you weren't here this morning, you wouldn't be hearing this and you wouldn't be getting stirred like this. Maybe we can stir some unreasonable faith. You know, where you can believe that the unreasonable suddenly becomes possible because God's in the middle of it. You just might need to start somewhere. It might be a parking space. It might be a change in circumstances. It might be a healing. It might be a job. It might be a house. It might be you just need a solution. But there'll be something in your situation that you need to call God into and expect an unreasonable solution. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Let's not box God in, because God can do all kinds of things, all kinds of ways. He is I am. You know, it might just mean you have to have a conversation. It might mean you need to pray a prayer. It might mean you've got to put in an offer. It might mean you've got to do something that requires God just to show up. If you can do it on your own, it's not faith. God needs to be involved for it to be faith. And all of this boils down to how you view God. See, if you believe God is the God of heaven with all authority on earth, and if you believe he loves you and he is for you, that when what seems impossible and unreasonable suddenly becomes possible and reasonable. Are you hearing me? Because we know and believe in the character of God. Look at this passage here in Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age was able to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So here is Sarah, very old, past it in terms of having children in a reasonable way, in a natural way, in earth terms. She was done, finished. Why did she conceive? How she considered God. She conceived because of the way she thought. How do you think on God? She thought, my God loves me. This seems impossible in the natural, but my God is the God of the impossible. He reigns over the impossible. And I consider him faithful. I have seen what he's done for other people. I've heard the stories and he loves me. I'm his child. And I believe he's going to come in like a rushing wind into my situation. And what happens? She conceives. Isaac, amazing. It's how she thought about God. How do you think about God? Whatever you're up against, do you believe in the character of God that he wants to and is able to come in and shift your situation? Let me stir your faith. Consider David, about to face Goliath. He was growing in faith. He had had some victories in the field that no one else had seen. And he turned up and there's this giant taunting God's people. And he became indignant. This is not okay. Church, can we start becoming indignant? Can we be indignant that this generation will encounter Jesus? Can we be indignant that churches will rise up, that we will take a stand, we will stop being blasé and half-hearted and start being indignant that we will passionately live for Almighty God? Come on, can we get some indignance in us? David said, no, the giant's coming at you, but no. So he arrived at the scene and he started asking questions about what's happening. And I want to highlight two parts. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Can you see how active faith is offending inactive faith? Right there. He's belittling him, saying, well, who are you? What have you got to do with it? What about those few sheep you have? That small little life you live? This is where it's important. You're too small for this. He was putting him down. But David was indignant. He was like, you can say what you like, but that giant is not taunting God's people because I know my God. And he stood up for something, didn't he? He entered an unreasonable fight. He goes to the king Saul in 1 Samuel 17, 37. And this is what David says. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Why did he go in there confident? Because he thought on God and believed in his character and said, he's come through before, he's going to come through again. This is an unreasonable fight. I'm a child fighting against a giant. In the natural, this is stupid. It looks impossible. But with my God, all things are possible. I go in his name and not my strength. Church, can I start stirring some people to go in his name and not your own strength? It might look impossible. You might have a giant in front of you. You might have a wall that seems insurmountable. And if it looks impossible, I want to say it's a great candidate for God to step in. But what do you think about him? Do you, in your heart of hearts, believe that Almighty God could step in just because he loves you, just because he favors you, and just because he can? And when you settle that in your heart, I think with some indignation that says, come on, my life is more than this. My life is better than this. I'm indignant that my God is with me and no giant can stand against me. I stand in the name of Almighty God. Can I stir your faith? Can I stir your faith? And let's start getting some unreasonable faith. Let's start getting some outrageous faith. Let's start stirring and getting some growing faith. Come on, let's not sit where we are and at the end of the year say, that was a nice year. I don't want a nice year. I want a full year, an outrageous year, a year marked by the hand of God where I look back and go, oh my days. Come on, let's have an oh my days kind of year, church. It's in our hands. Famous passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Now, often and quite rightly, we teach this about gaining territory from the kingdom. We talk about enlarging your tents of the territory you can take hold of and oversee. And that would be right. But what about the territory of your faith? Now, I recently saw in Equippers Minds, they did a great thing, and the guy had a glass of water. And he said, this is your faith life. And the glass was full. And he said, the trouble is, here we are with faith, and we believe in Jesus, and we believe in the church, and we believe in marriage and raising the children, and we believe in all these things, and there's my faith life, and it's full. And he said, and that's okay, but you just need to get a bigger glass. And he finds a bigger glass and he pours it in, and suddenly the glass is only half full. Now there's a whole lot more room for God to pour his blessings into in faith. And it's not that God hasn't got enough, it's that we haven't made enough room. So can you stretch yourself to start believing for the more outrageous? Because the problem isn't with God, the problem's with us. And if we stretch ourselves, maybe, God will pour it in and you'll be like, wow, I had faith down, but now my faith is bigger. Because I made some space. And making space means getting active, taking a risk, praying that prayer, trying that thing, pushing that door, whatever it might be for you. It means being active to allow the space for God to pour his blessing into it. And you can do it. God has not run out of blessing. It's us that needs to grow. What about this? Last point I want to make. Consider the apostles in the book of Acts. They were outrageous. Some of these guys had literally walked with Jesus. Their level of faith in action was just off the charts from where we're currently living. But I'm hoping that God will stir us and challenge us and help us to believe for the more outrageous and the more unreasonable. Look at this, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. These guys were so full of faith that people revered them and respected them and honored them. They were like, almost fearful of them. They're like, wow, what God is doing in them. The trouble is in the church nowadays, it's almost like people don't revere the church. They take the mickey out of the church. We're in such a mess. We're doing this, we're doing that. What do we believe? I don't really know. And they're like, you call yourself the church? These guys, well, they were in unity and they were in faith and they were standing for something. And people were like, whoa. And because of that, God used them in great power and authority. So much so that it caused the people to believe something about them. They believed in God. I believe you, Lord, that you could use my life to bless someone else. People saw that in them and said, I wonder, if only Peter's shadow could come on me. I mean, what kind of faith life you've got to be living that someone else believes if your shadow touches them, they're going to get healed. So they put the old poor and crippled and hurting, and Peter would walk past and they would get healed. It's just like, that is another level, church, isn't it? But God's the same God. And the same God living in Peter is the same God living in you. It's what Peter thought about God that was different. And how he was prepared to be living and committed to it and what he would believe for. And I know we're not there. But sometimes you've got to go to the most extreme to shift people a little bit. You know, anyone taught that kind of stuff? If I teach a little step, you'll take an even smaller step. If I teach a great big step, you might take a good step. Could we and you, could us as a church, could you as an individual live in such a way for Jesus that the people around you expect their lives to be better when you walk in? Because that's Almighty God at work through you. If Jesus physically walked in, the room would change. If Jesus physically walked in and gave someone a hug, they'd fall apart. But that Jesus lives in me. That Jesus lives in you. The issue is how we think about him. And if we could believe that what he used those apostles for, maybe he could use us for, what would culture still look like? What would your workplace look like? How would your next door neighbor's life be if we could believe that that just our presence in the room carrying the Spirit of the living God changes lives. Can you see it? See, our goal in the end is to become more like Jesus, isn't it? We want to be more like Jesus. And Jesus lived every day bringing the fullness of heaven to a broken earth. He never lived anywhere the same. It was always better. And so our goal, if we're going to be like Jesus, is that wherever we go, we don't leave it the same. We leave it better. And that's a faith journey. And it might start with a parking space. It might start with praying for someone to have a baby. It might start with being protected in an incident where you should have died. But faith stirs. And this is important. We need to hear the testimonies. The reason Sarah was able to believe from God is because she'd heard the testimonies of other people. It caused her to think about God. You know, as a practical tool in our connections tent, we've got a testimony book. Every time anything small or big happens, would you just go and write it down so that we could open that book? And please go and read it. It's not there just for me. Go and read it. Because you might read a story that relates to your story and say, wow, God came through for them. Maybe he'll come through for me. I'm hearing people are getting jobs. I'm hearing people are moving houses. Things are happening. But do you know? I heard someone, a story, and I'm not going to name names, but someone got their back healed last week because they turned up at Connect Group and said, would you pray? And they were struggling and bent over and hurting. And by the end of the night, they weren't. But it's happening in our church. And if we can see the testimonies, what happens? We start to believe and think on God differently. So please tell your story. Tell your Connect Group. Tell your friends. Write it in the book. Don't keep it to yourself, because that affects how people believe on God. Are you hearing me, church? I'd love you to stand. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for every amazing person who has come today. I thank you for every amazing person who will watch online. Bless them. Lord, I pray even this moment their hearts would be stirred, that Almighty God loves them, sings songs of love over them, calls them his treasured possession. We are the apple of your eye. We are the joy set before you. Thank you. Help us to see you more clearly, to think about you more clearly, and allow that to cause our faith to arise. First prayer I want to pray. Is there anyone here today who would like to be right with Jesus? Maybe you've not been right with Jesus ever. Or maybe you've been right with Jesus once upon a time and allowed that to drift. Is today a good day for you to say, Jesus, you're welcome in my life? I want to walk in that favor. I want to have my future secure. I want to have the living God and the weight of heaven behind my life. If that's you today, I wonder if you just give me a wave. God bless you there. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of people. Any more? Don't miss it. Come leave this place right. God bless you. God bless you there. God bless you over there. Thank you. That's four people I've already seen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we're going to pray. I'll pray a line and then you follow that line. We'll all pray as a church together. But know this, lives are being changed this morning. Let it stir your faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you love me. Today, I invite you to live in my heart, to be my Lord, my Savior, my friend. I say sorry for leaving you out, but today, I ask you to be my center. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.